If you have your Bibles, boys and girls have already found it. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. No, a familiar text in Scripture, a text that you know, that you love, it does something to you. It encourages you. Whenever you hear it, it takes you back sometime to another time, another place in your life. And a familiar text brings comfort, and a familiar text will just soothe your soul. How many times do we hear the 23rd Psalm and we find ourselves reciting it, and the cares of the world just seem to calm? Or we read John 3:16, and we've known it from infancy, and yet the words just thrill us. Or John 14, or 2 Timothy, and on we could go. But I'm afraid that often a familiar text can also be easily overlooked. Oh, Matthew 5, chapter 14, we know that. Or John 3:16, we say it real quickly. Sometimes a very familiar text can be just overlooked, missed out, and loses some of its inspiration, not as God's inspired word, but it no longer inspires us. We just run right through it. And today's text is one of those. So I want you to hear it again. Hear it as if you had never heard it. Hear it with new ears. Matthew 5, Jesus' words, beginning in verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This text comes as Jesus is teaching that familiar, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. He preceded those words by the Beatitudes, the blessed are they. And then Jesus, looking at his followers, said, "You are the light. And a town that is on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do followers light a lamp and put it away. Let your light shine." Jesus didn't say you should be a light. And usually a town on a hill is not hidden, and maybe you don't light a lamp and put it away often. And would you please let your light shine? Would you consider it? No, Jesus gave strong, bold, emphatic, declarative statements. You, followers, you are the light. Now, it's a bit different because isn't Jesus the light? But here he said, "You are the light." Jesus, John recorded in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." In John 9, verse 5, Jesus said, "While I am in the world, I am the light." Later in John's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus said, "You are going to have the light just a while longer, so walk in the light, for I am the light." Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the light, and yet here, he boldly proclaims, and so are you. What a compliment. that Jesus would look to his followers, and I think would speak to us today. What a compliment that Jesus would say, together we are the light. It's an amazing thought that Jesus, the light, declares us as the light, that Jesus expects nothing less of us than he did of himself. And that Jesus demands nothing less of us than what God the Father demanded of Jesus, be the light. Now don't miss this, and I don't think you will. You and I, we are not our own light. Our illumination comes directly and divinely from Jesus. And without Jesus in our life, we are dark. There can be no light apart from the light of Jesus. Our illumination, as followers of Christ, our illumination comes directly from the indwelling Christ. It comes directly from the presence of Jesus in us. The Apostle Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus says, Christ in you, the light. The light of the world. You are the light. Now let it shine. Let your light shine. Now I believe when Jesus' followers heard this, I want to believe that they began to think about what that meant. He is the light, now we're the light. There was a group of Jewish followers called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-S-E, the Essenes. We're familiar with the Pharisees, that sect of Judaism. Maybe you're familiar with the Sadducees. There was a third group, the Essenes. They were a Jewish sect, a separatist group that were cousins, if you would, to the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Essenes formed their own aesthetic, monastic community, and they all retreated to the deep wilderness area of Judea. It's interesting because the Essenes' nickname, they were known by themselves and by those who knew them, oh, they are, quote, the children of light. But really, that was a total antithesis. They were not light. That was a misnomer, because what they did, they totally withdrew from the world. The Essenes totally withdrew from society. They withdrew from others of their Jewish faith. They formed this holy huddle, and they hid out, and they looked at the light. We're children of light. As they prayed, as they looked at themselves, as they talked about the light and shared the light, hide it under a bushel? No. Let it shine. The Essenes missed it. How could they ever impact their belief in God when they were all hiding in the wilderness, hiding their light? Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see. That they may see your good deeds. Not just see your deeds, but that they might be impacted by your deeds. That others might be influenced by your deeds. That others might be changed by your light, by your deeds. Now, when I read the word deeds or works, those words, as a grace lover, sometime make me kind of shudder. Well, so if I do more works, then I get God's glory. And no, I'm not talking about works in that way. But every once in a while, we need a good dose of James. So listen to what James said about deeds. James chapter 3. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds or actions? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If someone says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and I hope you're well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, James wrote, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James concludes chapter 2 by saying, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without action is dead. One of the early church fathers said, the good word without the good work, without the good walk, isn't so good after all. The good word without the good work, without the good walk, isn't so good after all. Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works, your good action, and bring glory to God. That your deeds would bring glory to God the Father in heaven. It all goes back to bringing glory to God. Don't miss that. The reason we do the works, the reason we do the action, we can't help. Once we have the faith of God in us, once our light is shining, we can't help but do actions and deeds that others might see. And all the glory goes back to God. William Barclay, in his little commentary on this text, said the light of Jesus that he refers to is a light that warns. We need a warning light in our world. It's a light that guides, but primarily it's a light that is seen. The sermon title on the front of the bulletin, The Light on Bremond. I want you to do something. Whether it's tonight or Monday night, some night before we gather back next Sunday, I want you to do something. Go out to the loop. Now wait till 8 or 8:30 or even 9. Some of us have been in bed by then, but push yourself. Get out on the loop and turn on Frank and head this direction. You'll pass, you know, the chicken plant. You'll pass Gaslight, Brookshire Brothers, and keep going. If you haven't been on Frank lately, there's a brand new convenience store right there at Frank and Regay. When you drive by Dr. Byler's office, be glad you're not sitting in that dental chair. Just drive right on by it. And when you get to about the Wishing Well warehouse, before you go under the railroad at Frank, you look up. And you look toward the church. And that beautiful steeple. I hope the light's working this way. That beautiful steeple. No one ever comes to visit us in Lufkin that I don't say, never, someone from out of town that I say, let me drive you by the church. And I always go to the loop and come down Frank and I say, get ready. And there is the most gorgeous steeple. Or if you don't want to drive down Frank, just come downtown. If you haven't been downtown Lufkin at night, you need to. Go eat at Manhattan or go to the Restoration Wine Bar. And afterwards, don't come up first, but cut across Shepherd and turn on Second. And you don't even have to look at the courthouse. No, look straight ahead. Because there is the most beautiful view of the light on our church steeple. If you've ever walked out of the convention center at night after an event, you talk about a sense of pride. You're in this parking lot and you look across at all the building, but that light in that steeple, it beckons. It calls. You can't help but just look up and keep looking up. I remember in those first days of COVID, you know, school shut down, businesses, everything shut down. We weren't coming to the office. I remember we ran off a certificate that the mayor's office gave to where we could even drive from our home to the church. And for about 10 days, we didn't have our offices open. And I made it about 2 days without coming up here. But I remember those chaotic days of wondering what this meant and what it would do. Thank goodness we didn't know all that it would do. I remember sitting across the street and just gazing at that steeple. I think I did a video. I came back behind the FLC and walked on that second floor early one morning, and there was our steeple. It gave me such hope during a dark time in our world. Now, you know that the church building, however, is not the light. We're grateful for Encore and TXU. The building and the steeple, as glorious as it is, it's not the light, but you are, church. You, the church, the body of Christ, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And I want you to know that Lufkin needs the light. Lufkin needs you to be that light. Lufkin needs Jesus. You drive down as far, Bremond, or as far as you want to on Grosbeck. You can go on first or second or third and fourth. Our community needs the light. They need Jesus. But it's not just our community. You might look around at Crown. Crown needs Jesus, and Brook Hollow needs Jesus. Kelties needs Jesus. Hudson needs Jesus. They need the light. Yes, in just a few minutes, we're going to go out and have a block party. I think it's a good idea. We've been talking about it since last Halloween when we invited our community. A block party. It's good for us to eat a hot dog together, to fellowship. And it's good for our community to be invited to be a part of us. But let us not see that as an end all. It's not something we do just to say, look at us, look how good we are for our community. It has to be more. There may be no one from our community. We have no idea. We've passed out flyers this last week. We've put out signs, but there may not be anyone from the community. It could be that everyone from our community is in their church this morning worshiping. It could be that those in our own community, they're out letting their light shine wherever they are. Let us not approach our community in some condescending, patronizing way that look at us, the big church, welcoming you with a hot dog and the bouncy game. No, let's just go and be the light. Last night, Angelina Arts, we had a marvelous concert. I was telling someone, my 5 or 6 years of going to Angelina Arts Alliance, this would be number 1, 2, or 3. It's way up there. Renee Goldsberry, beautiful voice. It was a fabulous night of concert. But her music was wonderful because she sang good songs. And her voice was just, it was heavenly. But it was her personality. It was her spirit. Her spirit was so radiant, so welcoming. It's like she was from Lufkin. It was like she just loved us. And I thought it wasn't just because she was a great actress. I have to believe it was Christ in her that was radiating through her. That winsome personality, she was so welcoming and so full of joy. And that's what I long for us to be. As a church in our community, that the community will see Christ in us. They won't see judgment in us. They won't see they will see welcoming, loving grace. They will see our good deeds, and they will glorify the Father. We have to sing it. This little light of mine, join me, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. You want to sing another verse, don't you? Which one do you want to sing? Don't let Satan. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh God, this day we commit anew to let our light shine. Jesus said, we are the light. In a city on a hill, it can't be hidden, and so we can't hide the light. We don't put it under a bowl. We let it shine that others might see the light, be drawn to the light, that it might be a warning light, a guiding light, that it might be a strong, beautiful light, that they might see the good deeds, the actions that we do, and that all the glory might be to you, O God. Let us shine our light. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn number 5.